This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome.
You okay?
Welcome.
You're welcome. You doing Scooby-Doo? Thank you, Shaggy.
Welcome back.
All right.
That's what I meant. You probably knew that, though.
I did.
It's 4:04. That's the time. This is COVID cast number 82. By my count, no U.S. major team sports. We've done 82 of these. So we press on.
Although in the near future, supposedly,
they're back. Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, we got some soccer teams pulling out already. Bunch of major league camps shutting down.
Hey, the NBA is going to get started. I'm confident of that.
Yeah, we'll see about that. the NBA and the NHL by far have the best chance of getting through this thing.
Real quick on the Mahomes deal, which we covered last hour. Yeah. Josh McCown tweeted. Did you see what he tweeted?
No.
About that?
I did not.
So Mahomes got a 10-year extension for basically $500 million.
Sure.
Josh McCown quote tweeted it and said, is this better than a 1-year deal with 10 teams?
Hey, Josh McCown did just fine.
And that's fantastic.
He did just fine.
Great tweet. Yes, absolutely. McCown, I think he's still in the league. He's like 58. Well,
they brought him back, I think, for the Jets last year,
he's
right?
He's like Satchel Paige.
Yeah, he keeps coming back. Like, he's not on a
Satchel
roster at the beginning.
Nice reference to the greatest Satchel show of all time.
Yeah. He just keeps, like when someone gets hurt, they're like, yeah, you want to bring in Josh McCown? Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Man, it was fun to watch him in that Seahawks game. Wasn't that him?
In the Seahawks game.
The Eagles? Who was the guy for the Eagles that came in
after? Satchel Paige.
Satchel Paige. Wow, he was throwing to Josh Gibson out there.
Carson Wentz got hurt. Remember?
Buck Henry.
Wasn't that McCown that came in? I thought it was.
Boy, I don't know. Which time did Carson Wentz get hurt? Yeah, in the playoff game. I'm trying to remember. I thought it was McCown. Was that McCown?
Yeah, and we just thought he was so cute out there hustling around.
It's possible. Yeah, he got hit with the concussion.
Oh, yeah, he was playing through an injury too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got hurt. He hurt his back.
Yeah, but there wasn't anyone else to go. Was that the?
Well, it was McCown.
Okay,
that's who that was.
Yeah,
and he looked pretty.
You're like,
for that standard, yeah, he looked great.
That's the best part of when you're a backup quarterback, you don't have to be good. If you just come in and you're not like horrid, then everyone's like, well, you know, he played okay. We give you the benefit
of
the doubt.
He was a fighter.
He was out there. He was Scranton strong.
Didn't get it done though. All right, so Major League Baseball, we're going to get our stock watch in next, then in the news. But first, Major League Baseball released its schedule.
Yes.
Now, will they play? No idea, but at least they're going to say they're going to try to play.
Now, is the complete one? Because I saw that they were rolling out like team by team.
It's complete.
It's
now.
Done.
Okay.
So here's what they're going to do. They're doing a 60-game regular season, and teams will play their 4 divisional opponents 10 times each.
Yeah, like the Mariners start their season on the road against Houston, those cheating bastards.
And the other 20 games will be against interleague opponents in the same geographical area. For example, four each, right? Yes. The National League West teams will face the American League West teams and so on. So they don't have to travel as far. Yeah.
Cubbies, White Sox, Mets, Yankees, you get the regional stuff. And again, you're right. Everything is because they're going to do home stadiums or they're going to attempt to do home stadiums with no fans, all trying to minimize travel.
So we get
I find that interesting because, like, if you're taking an airplane, right? Well, I guess, like,
what does it matter how far it goes?
Yeah, in Chicago, New York, I guess you don't have to, right? You know, but, like, if you're talking about playing, you know,
the West teams get a little screwed with this.
Yeah, the West teams, like, if you're on an airplane, right? What does it matter if you're flying from Seattle to San Francisco as opposed to Seattle to wherever? You're still traveling. I mean, you're not going through an airport. You're gonna fly private.
I also saw one of our P1s, Jim, brought this to my attention. That Chicago, did you see that over the weekend? Chicago announced a travel ban. Well, not a travel ban, a quarantine rule for anyone coming from California or any of the southern states that are popping with COVID.
Sure,
that's a problem.
I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of wiggle work here because I know that in Alaska, and I think Hawaii is doing this too. I know Alaska was the first to do it, and Hawaii was going to follow suit, although I haven't seen that they've done it yet. If you have a negative test with you within 72 hours of when you're arriving, you can waive the 14-day quarantine.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that there's going to be some sort of thing worked out here where as long as and these guys are going to be tested a ton, there will be some sort of
reportedly.
Yeah, there'll be some sort of agreement made with state governments to allow this to go down.
All right, so the season openers, two games on July 23rd. Boy, that is just not far, is it?
No, it is not.
That's 2 weeks from this Thursday. The Yankees will be playing at the Nationals. Mm-hmm. Great matchup there.
Yeah. Well, 4 o'clock ESPN.
World Series champs against, you know, the most storied team in baseball and a bunch of cheating bastards, but, you know, people pay attention to him.
He's coming at you today.
That's fine.
And the Giants at the Dodgers, the late one, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, it's big so time, good. Except there won't be anyone there. And
there will be no fans.
Hopefully, like, arms aren't falling off and people are, like, pulling oblique. Well, so, like, we're going to find out, like, who's been doing what in the offseason.
I feel like this is the first time, just reading that right there was the first time in my head I kind of went, oh, my God, they're going to play.
Yeah, right around the corner.
You know, because it just felt so distant before, and you can't really imagine it without fans. But, yeah, they're gonna try to get this thing going, so they will travel to each other's home stadiums. July 24th is a full slate. That is the Friday. And as you mentioned, the Mariners will be playing at the Astros. The Angels will be playing the A's. Diamondbacks, Padres, Braves, Mets.
Hey, there you go.
Tigers, Reds. It's kind of a weird one.
Well, you know, Central, right?
The Reds may actually be mildly intriguing this year.
Mildly?
Yeah.
Remember our boy, Colin Wilson, came on and said that if...
He loves him.
That would have been his pick. I'm assuming it still is his pick to win the World Series because their odds were so good.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's not there. It's their best value, he said. But the Reds have a good offense.
They said that the Red Sox will have to play the Yankees and Rays 13 of their first 23 games. That's brutal.
Okay. Well, that's...
Well, I mean, it hurts the other teams in the AL East.
Sure.
You know.
Well, I mean, there is something...
Because that's a loaded division.
If you're in a weak division, it certainly is going to help you out more so than in previous years.
Exactly. What's the weakest division, you think? I mean, I don't... It's a year-to-year thing, but...
It is. I mean, it might be the Central again.
Central, AL Central?
Yeah, right? I mean, every...
Twins are good.
The Twins are good, but then you get the, you know...
The Indians are solid.
The Tigers stink.
The White Sox are pretty good this year.
Again,
it's not a great division.
I would make the argument that with Cleveland and Chicago, you're kind of doing the...
So the best record...
The only good team in there that you can say that, like, definitively that you say that's a good team would be the Twins.
So I was going to say the best record could be the Twins in all of baseball just because of schedule.
But is there another division that you can think of that's weaker than that?
I don't think the NL West is all that great besides the Dodgers, but...
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
Yeah.
Giants, Diamondbacks, Padres, Rockies.
Yeah.
But
Dodgers are great, though.
You can make the argument that at least at the top half, although while the Twins are good, they're certainly not the Dodgers. And if we're going to sit here and be like, the White Sox, couldn't you say the same thing about the Diamondbacks, though? You can kind of make a loose case that if we're going to try to make it for some of the Central teams
I believe more in the Indians than I do the Diamondbacks.
Well, and the Rockies, too. You can say the same thing about Colorado.
Is the NL Central that great?
The top three teams are solid.
I don't know if it's
Brewers,
it's,
Cardinals, and Cubs.
Well, and I think the Reds, for a lot of people, are going to be an exciting team.
But, yeah.
So,
NL Central's solid.
Dude, the AL Central
stinks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just,
it's the worst of the divisions.
You stink. And you've got two bona fide bottom dwellers.
Shut
that
up.
That are, you know for a fact, are going to be warmed over trash. Is there another
league? Whoa. God.
Is there going to be another, is there another league that has two that are going to be
another
that,
division?
Another division. What did I say? Another league. Another division that's going to have two teams that are going to lose 100 games. Well, they're not going to lose 100 this year because
they're only playing 60. It's impossible, Jason.
They're only playing 60.
The NL
are
East?
Are going to lose 45 games.
Not the NL East.
No, it's not the East.
It's not the NL Central, probably.
No. It's the only one where you have two teams where you're guaranteed to lose 75%
well,
of your games.
You mean the Marlins and Mets aren't guaranteed to lose 75% of their games?
Hey, the Mets are going to be okay.
The Angels and Mariners aren't very good.
No, but again,
but the Angels got
had a pretty good. The Angels had a pretty good offseason.
They got
the,
Rendon.
They had the.
They only won 72 games last year, though.
They still had Trout and Otani.
Yeah, and he's.
Yeah,
back.
But again, 72. I mean, they weren't any good last year. No. Adding Rendon means that much.
No, but they're not. I mean, come on. That's not.
But yes, your point is duly noted. Between the Tigers and Royals, you have the two worst teams in any one division.
Yes. So if you're in that division and you're looking down and you get to play those teams, what, 20 times?
Mm-hmm. You're like, so then that's
you better be 18-2 in those games. That's where you're making your
But see, that's where Mike's point comes in. It's like maybe the White Sox will sneak up and win some, you know, have a good record because they're playing those teams so much and they're playing those teams in the NL Central a lot too.
And isn't this too like a lot of this is just going to be
Pirates.
Is going to be health. Right. The Yankees, who we know are going to be good, but the Yankees, it's seemingly in my mind, like the last 3 or 4 years have just been decimated by injuries at the start of the season.
Hey, and Tanaka's okay.
And as good
as
he got
hit by a line drive. I saw
right off the noggin. The sound of it is horrific.
Yeah. But they said, I guess he's back and working out. Right.
Out of the hospital. Concussion tests are good. So I guess somehow, some way he avoided that.
But it's one of those things that if you go down for if you have a bad month. Right at the start of the year like that, and you're riddled by injuries. The Yankees will be all right. You can dig your way out of the hole, but it's not expanded playoffs. So this is going to be so freaky this year, and who knows? You know, with pitching staffs and what's going to happen to arms, and you know how. I guess you can't wear out the bullpen. It's only 60 games, but this is going to be a very, very weird year because you just don't know what to make of a sprint. You've been running a marathon for the entire length of your career, and now you're being asked to run 400 meters.
So the Mariners open with the Astros. This is your daily reminder to hate and boo Houston.
Yes.
Okay.
Please
do not let them forget what they did.
Right. No, boo them virtually.
And please, if the Mariner pitching staff can plunk.
That's right. Will they?
Right
out of the gate?
I would certainly hope so.
That'll probably be Marco Gonzalez out there.
Their ace.
And he's kind of a little guy.
And then George Springer, first batter up. Do you plunk Springer or do you wait for Altuve or Bregman?
Well, I think maybe you set the tone early.
I think you go high and tight early.
Yeah. You know, but
first
then,
pitch over Springer's head.
But then that's wait for the lovable baseball elf.
And then you go, it's weird off season. My arm's a little bit
sweaty. Down my arm. I broke my arm.
All right. Well, let's get to our stock watch. It's what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports, and it's coming up next on The Fan.
It's primetime stock watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Sue buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights. 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, a local COVID update, as you have come to expect on In the News, is coming up next. But first, as you might have guessed from the open there, it's time for our stock watch.
That would have been an educated guess, and you would have been correct.
Brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. Here's Mike.
Patrick Mahomes is the biggest star this early the NFL has ever seen. He's the best quarterback this early the NFL has ever seen. And I would say this, after hearing Shefty talk about the numbers, this now makes me think they're going to go chase the Patriots. They're going to go chase down Tom Brady's 6 Super Bowls and 9 Super Bowls appearances. Because the reality is this age, $450 million is a ton of money over 10 years. I'm not debating that. But Patrick Mahomes will be underpaid in 4 or 5 seasons. He easily could go back to the table and get more than $50 million. He's that good.
Dan Orlovsky there saying the Chiefs are chasing the Patriots dynasty. Buy or sell, do you view the Chiefs as a team that could win the amount of titles the Pats did in the same amount of time?
No, I don't view anyone in that way. I find this is just so hot takey of old Dan there. They may do it, but I swear, we take something that has not been done in modern football history, right? In the salary cap era, what New England has done is truly unique. It's the greatest dynasty run in football history, because you can't go back to the Steelers and the Niners and go back, because it was a completely different game. And we say, well, they've won one Super Bowl, and therefore, oh, yeah, they've got 5 more. Kansas City's in a really good position. But we know for a fact that in the salary cap era, the highest paid quarterback does not win Super Bowls. Now, I'm not saying that Pat Mahomes can't be the guy to buck that trend, but it hasn't happened. He will eat up such a huge percentage of the salary cap. I think the number is the only quarterback that's ever been, I think it's 13% of the salary cap, and that was Steve Young. And that was the very first year of the salary cap.
So wait, because that was where I was going to go to. So just to clarify that number, no quarterback has won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
That makes over 13% of his team's total salary cap money.
The only quarterback to ever do that was Steve Young.
Okay,
And I think he made 17 or 18. I'll have to look it up.
Percent.
And that was the very first year of the salary cap when this really wasn't a thing yet. Figuring it out.
How much is Mahomes, if he's making $45 million a year, how much of what percentage of the salary cap is that roughly?
Again, we'll have to look up what the NFL salary cap is going to be, because over the next 2 years, he's still playing on his current deal. So we don't know what that's going to be. But if we look at what the NFL salary cap is right now, let's take a look-see here. As I want to say, it's 150 something or other? I'll bring it up. But this is going to be an enormous, enormous hit to their cap space. So to say that this is going to be the one that bucks the trend and wins 5 more, we've yet to see a guy make this kind of money win 1. And now we're saying he's going to win 5 more? I suppose it's possible. But we always want to take the outlier that we've never seen before and assume that the next thing that comes along that's the flavor of the month is going to go ahead and be that. It's like, oh, he'll be the next Jordan, he'll be the next LeBron, he'll be the next Knicks, he'll be next that. Wait until they win 3 or 4, and then we can talk about them chasing down 6.
Did you say the next Knicks?
The next 6.
Oh.
You know, we'll talk.
Like, he did say Knicks, and I was like, what?
What?
You know, it's a bit much after one of these things talking about that.
Well, they're really tough to defend, and I get why people would be high on, you know, slowing them down, but you're exactly right. The reason why they will not, well, sell the stock and they will not do what the Patriots did is they've never had a quarterback making this percentage of the cap. The Patriots never had that.
No.
Right? Like, Tom Brady kept taking less and they would restructure and move and just the way the Patriot, Bill Belichick's great. Tom Brady's great. They put together great teams in New England, but a lot of how they did that was cap maneuvering. And a lot of how they did that over a long period of time was cap maneuvering. If you look at, generally speaking, the Seahawks, I think, have done a really good job of this, you know, handling the cap. But they're also a great example of a team who won while their quarterback was still on their smaller deal.
Yeah.
That's the key. If you do that, and the Chiefs were lucky enough to do that with Patrick Mahomes, that is your best chance to win. And once that quarterback starts getting big-time money, that makes it just that much harder. And the Patriots are just unique in that way, in their relationship with Tom Brady and how they structure their deals and how they structure all their guys' deals.
Sure.
To not get into trouble with the cap.
Kansas City has a real opportunity here over the next...
The Chiefs could do that,
yes.
But what New England did was really unique.
Yeah, and Kansas City has a chance here over the next 2 years when Mahomes is still relatively cheap to throw this thing into high gear and to try to get a couple of these. And for someone pointing out that if D Ford isn't offside, do they have 2? And this is the weird part about winning Super Bowls. I tend to agree with you. if Dee Ford doesn't jump off sides, there is a really good chance that Kansas City has two of these.
Who was in the Super Bowl?
That year it was New England and
the Rams.
And that was the AFC title game, right?
That was the AFC title game.
So, yeah, Chiefs would have beat the Rams?
I would think so.
The Rams scored, what, 6 points?
And again, Kansas City's defense wasn't New England's, but you never know. But I would say that Kansas City wins too, but then you can make the argument that if Jimmy Garoppolo can throw a pass 40 yards on the mark, Pat Mahomes doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco had that, and this is the funky things about Super Bowls. They're really hard to win.
Well, they trailed by double digits in every one of those games.
Yes, it's hard to get there. And so this idea that Kansas City is just going to run roughshod over everybody, they haven't run roughshod over anybody yet. And yet they've won one, and now automatically they're going to win. You know, they're going to chase six. It's just...
Well, they kind of did run roughshod over the Texans. But after being down big, spotted him 80 points.
Yeah, and by the way, the salary cap right now, it's $198 million. And so I know that that's going to be in flux a little bit. Some people think that may go down because, you know, revenue.
Give me a safe number. Okay, 198 million. So in 5 years,
250 maybe?
Let's say 250 and he's making $50 million.
45.
Well, he's making 45. So I'll do 45.
Just for action, correct.
So it'll be 45 over each.
So that's average. Yeah. That's 18%.
It's never been done. So I'm not saying.
Well, you said it did. Steve Young did it
one time. But again, they say that doesn't count because no team. It was the very first year of it, and so teams hadn't been hamstrung by salary cap situations. You know what I mean? Like the teams weren't. Teams are all of a sudden weren't thrown into this. Oh my God, we have to plan for the future. The Steve Young one is the outlier. He will be doing something if he wins one or two that has never been done in the modern NFL, and he's got to do it five more times. It's a tall task, even for the best player in football, and that's really at this point without question.
Sources do confirm to ESPN that the league is expected to announce the withdrawal of FC Dallas from this tournament. That stems from, of course, the several positive coronavirus tests to players and one coach. They have been quarantined for 7 days in their hotel rooms, and the players who have tested positive have been in a separate wing of the resort here in Orlando. And now we spoke to head coach Luchi Gonzalez just yesterday, and it did seem like a guy who was not exactly ready to play. He was worried about the safety and the health of his players, and the fact that they have been in quarantine for 7 days and this decision is now being made by the league and by the team really goes to show you what the situation is here and how they're going to move forward.
Stefano Fusaro, ESPN FC reporter. FC Dallas is pulling out of the MLS's back tournament, which starts this week due to a rash of positive COVID tests. By the way, almost all of those happened once they got to Orlando, not prior to getting there. So buy or sell, you will see a major sport of the four that are playing, the three that are coming back now in the summer, NBA, NHL, and MLB, a team will withdraw due to an outbreak within their team.
Yeah, something will happen. And withdraw, I don't know about for the entire year, but how long can you go? There will be a major hiccup somewhere along the road. These things spread throughout teams, whether we've seen it at college campuses where you can get 30 plus, or you see baseball or MLS teams with 6-7 guys. And depending on the sport, you get an NBA team that gets 6 guys, 7 guys. What can you play? You get an NFL roster, you know, 53 guys. Like now it's been bumped up. I think it's 56 under the new CBA, but you get 20 guys, 15 guys on an NFL roster. You can't play. And then, I suppose in an NFL thing, maybe you just forfeit a week or two and try to come back, but there will be some form of withdrawal from one of the major, the big four or five, if you want to include soccer, 100%.
Well, just playing the percentages, I would have to say yes. I have questions about this MLS thing, though. When are they starting?
I think they start in 2 days.
Okay, so they're already 7 days in, right?
Yes.
Why did they, can they not wait? Can they...
I don't
why
know.
Did they withdraw?
I don't know why exactly they did it. I think just.
I mean, if they
maybe
all...
they did test again and more players had it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, they're going to have to wait, you know, 14 days now or whatever the 10 days, whatever the MLS's limit is.
Yeah, I thought it was that you had to wait at least 10 days and then you had to produce two negative tests. So obviously, I don't know. It just kind of seems weird that it's like, okay, they all got, or not they all, but several players got positive. They're halfway home, you know. perhaps they could figure out a way that they could.
Especially the way the schedule is, they probably would only miss one game.
Yeah.
But it's a tournament, so it's not like
okay.
a season.
Now, next question. How do they not know how they got it? If they got it, they're in a bubble in Orlando, and they know they got it once they got there. Don't they have the contact tracing stuff going on about they can track all that?
One would hope.
I don't know. I don't know the answers to your questions. I'm sorry.
So are we sure that they had it before
they had negative tests when they were in Dallas.
And right. This goes back
and then
to,
they got to Orlando and they got positive.
Did you have false testing? Negative.
They could have had it.
Or did you have it and it was incubating?
Right.
Or, you know, side pieces.
I think that's probably you could have still had it in Dallas.
The ladies.
You went to Mons Venus and, you know.
Maybe, is Dallas good? Maybe another team planted the COVID.
Oh, there you go. Rub some COVID on LeBron.
Are they good?
When you're getting ready to play him?
The best player in the MLS pulled out. Carlos Vela. He's not playing because of COVID.
Well, she won't
he's
be
got
pregnant.
A pre- he's got a pregnant wife.
Oh. Wow. Whoa. Did you guys catch all that?
I did catch all that.
Fantastic.
Ron Rivera has said that he thinks it's possible. He would like to see it happen before the regular season. That is the name change. Of course, the team has said that they're conducting a thorough study to find out whether they make that change. It sounds like they will. Now it's just a matter of when, not if.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN, Redskins name change. Buy or sell, Dan Snyder's going to mess this up somehow.
How do you mess this up?
Rename
them the Indians?
Is there something more offensive that he can name them besides Redskins?
What if he renames them the DC Redskins? He's like, look, I thought you guys wanted to name
it. Yeah.
It's not Washington anymore.
It sure seems like they're going to have to buckle, right? FedEx wants out. Nike is pulling their stuff. Minority partners want to sell the land, the government land where they're going to build the new Redskins stadium, FedEx Field. Which, by the way, FedEx won't sponsor unless they change the name. They're saying now that no stadium would be built there as long as it's still the Redskins. He's staring this down. And I know he's been super defiant, but it won't be this year because there's, you know, marketing and all that. You can't change it this year. But there may be an announcement come. I think this is even beyond Dan Snyder. Especially in light of all the blackface, right, going back and doing that. Look up Redskin fan and you've got thousands of people going to games in red face. It's just, you can't. It's not going to happen.
What am I buying or selling?
He won't screw this up.
Daniel Snyder's going to screw this up. No, somehow,
someway. He will not. I agree.
In a year's time, they will not be the Washington Redskins.
Well, that's fine, but what nickname does he pick and is it still borderline?
No, he'll pick.
He's very defiant.
He is, but you know what? The thing about it is, and I'm surprised that it took this long for anyone to figure this out. The way to get to guys like him is through money.
Money.
And that's all they care about.
Yep.
So, of course, now that like Nike and all the things you mentioned, of course that's going to make him move on this because that's all he cares about is money. It wasn't that hard.
No.
It's just like, you know, all these Native Americans have been yelling at him for years. He doesn't give a rip about them.
Corporate money he does.
But he does care about his bottom line. And so, of course, now that that's in question, of course he'll change the name.
Yeah.
It would be enormous because this has been the team name since 1915, but the Cleveland ownership signaled its discomfort with the name a few years ago when it did remove the Chief Wahoo logo. I think if you put out a statement like this, it's inevitable that there's going to be change with this name.
Buster Olney, the Indians also likely changing their name. Buy or sell, it is an absolute requirement that they re-become the Cleveland Spiders.
What?
No, I don't think
buy or sell. It's a requirement. That's such a cool name.
It would be,
super unique for sports.
I would totally be on board of that. And there is no other spiders, and that's a shame because you could come up with some really cool logos. I don't think it's a must. But
isn't
I would
there a college team that's the Spiders?
The Richmond Spiders.
Richmond.
Yeah.
Why
there's
them,
no pro
though?
Team?
Why would they be the Spiders?
Well, because they used to be
the Cleveland Spiders.
They were the Cleveland Spiders.
Hmm. Well, that's why.
Yeah. And if you look
Whoa.
Up, there are all kinds of cool little mock-up
right
logos
God, Mike.
Of what you could do with the Cleveland Spiders.
What am I buying?
It's
buy
a must.
Or sell, it is an absolute
no,
requirement
sell.
That they become the Cleveland Spiders.
Come on. They could be whatever they want.
What
are they saying? What are their names for the Indians?
I don't know. I'm bringing it up because that's such a cool name.
Well,
it used to
it.
Be their name.
I don't buy it. I sell it.
Okay, well then the segment's over.
Live with it.
Do
I
the
sell,
tag.
I sold it, bitch.
Do the tag and go to break.
Yeah, all right. Goldberg Jones, when it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. All the latest on COVID and some very sad Local golf news next on In the News. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, sports show. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up here in 20 minutes. The baseball schedule is out. Pat Mahomes gets paid.
Except we're about to not do sports.
A lot of COVID news. I know, yeah.
I mean, but, you said sports show, but you're going right into the non-sportsy.
Been very sportsy today.
Yeah, the people know that. I tell you what, this has been a very sportsy day because it's, well, there's a lot of sports news.
Sure.
But we don't always do sports here.
No.
We keep
another argument for three-day weekends every weekend. Things build up and you get more sports.
That's right. And we haven't. And the good news is, I kind of feel good about this, is we haven't really had to throw bad COVID news at everyone.
No.
Yet we've had real sports stuff to talk about.
That is true. Now here comes the...
Yeah, that all changes right now because it is July 6, 2020. It is time for In the News.
Take this!
I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Fried Chicken Day.
Oh, well, who doesn't love fried chicken?
I don't know.
I don't eat fried chicken very much because, well, it's horrible for you, but fried chicken is delightful.
It is also International Kissing Day, so kiss away.
Again, kissing also fantastic.
Probably just be careful with that, you know.
Sean Fredrickson, this is a very sad story. Sean Fredrickson was the head golf professional at Oswego Lake Country Club.
Mm-hmm. Which we went on the Weasel Tour.
We did.
Yeah.
You know, we were at his club. Killed along with his three children in a plane crash in Coeur d'Alene.
Ugh.
Yeah. This happened over the weekend. Two planes collided. And his three kids were with him, Sophie, Hayden, and Quinn. And his wife was not. She was there waiting for them to return.
God.
Yes.
I don't even have the words.
It's horrible.
I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, they went together and, you know, there's something in that. But if you're the wife, I don't know how to do that. As someone that has lost a spouse, I know how hard that was. I can't even fathom what that's like, losing your children to go along with it. And I hate the whole thoughts and prayers thing, but I don't have the words to express what my feelings would be to that poor woman.
So one of the aircraft was a float plane operated by Brooks Seaplane of Coeur d'Alene, and they do scenic flights, you know, like over the lake and stuff.
Yeah.
And the other plane, plane was carrying five passengers, including three children. That would have been Sean and his kids and the pilot. And then the other plane was a Cessna 206 that was carrying at least two people. They have only recovered three bodies so far. Horrible, horrible story. If you know Sean, I didn't know Sean. Having been in the golf world, I do know people that did know him and speak very highly of him. So very sad. Sean Fredrickson has passed away, and his three kids, Hayden, Sophie, and Quinn. Okay. The Oregon Zoo is reopening.
Yeah, but
I'm trying to mix in a dose of good news.
Something positive. I saw that and I was like, hey, the Oregon Zoo, but I still won't be able to see the damn red panda, so.
Why not?
Because it's not there. That's my, you know,
what
that's,
do you mean?
That's my big conspiracy theory. I don't believe that the red panda exists.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that. I think I read that the red panda had a baby.
Yeah, supposedly there's two of them.
And it was blue.
It's a blue panda. I'm still waiting to see the one. I think the whole thing is cooked up. That's my big conspiracy theory, is that the Oregon Zoo, it's fake news. They don't have one red panda, let alone two.
Well, every time I've gone, the red panda has not been out.
Yeah.
And that is not a giant enclosure that thing's in.
No. And then they tell you, oh, look around. They've got a little box where it supposedly hangs out in. No.
I've never seen it.
I keep waiting to see it. Haven't seen it. Like the damn raccoon in my backyard.
So the general public will be able to go in beginning July 12th. Now, you do have to pre-pay for tickets because it's timed ticketing, so they have to reduce capacity.
Yeah.
And they'll have a one-way open-air outdoor path through the park. Most of the indoor places will still be closed, and there will be face coverings required. But beginning July 12th, if the kids are bored, you can mask them up and head to the Oregon Zoo.
Well, there you go. Something else to do. I'm telling you, it's hard finding stuff that you can do in COVID time. So, good for the Oregon Zoo opening back up. And you think the animals are happy that we're, we're not around?
They're probably partying, like wondering, what the hell's going on? Where are all the people?
You know, those two pandas out in China that wouldn't get it on for 13 years, and then we disappeared because of this, and then, you know, they started, making panda love.
That's true. There's probably a couple egotistical, like, bears or something. They let all the zoo stuff go to their head, and they're like, now, where is everybody? They have an identity crisis.
Where's my audience, right? I bet you it's that jerky giraffe. He's always strutting out there. Oh, you're going to come look at the giraffe. No, I'm not. I'm going to go see the non-existent red panda again.
COVID, 375 cases was the daily high last Thursday in Oregon. Friday, we had 344, Saturday, 303, and Sunday, 301.
Okay.
So that's good?
Yeah, going the other way.
Still all over 300, so yeah, that's, I mean, not
good. Yeah,
we've
gone up, so our new normal is 300 plus.
Yeah, but it did go down days in a row.
It also went up to 272, then back down to like 110, and now up to 300.
Yeah, so 301 yesterday, six new deaths. Still only 173 hospitalized across the state.
That's good news.
25 of which need a ventilator. 121 students at the University of Washington have COVID after an outbreak in the frats.
Well, and this goes back to you're not going to be able to keep kids. If you bring them back on campus, kids are going to be kids.
Sada.
There's no way that you're going to keep the frat bros and the sorority gals and the general student body. You're not going to be able to keep them from doing what they want.
112 of the students live in frats. The other 9 came in close contact with the bros. Overall, there are about 1,000 frat bros at UW living across 25 different houses. And this outbreak is over about 12 houses and 121 students, and they are all being asked to quarantine, which, how do you suppose that's going if they're asymptomatic?
Exactly. And this just goes back to, we're getting to a point here where campuses are going to have to start making decisions. I saw USC last week, right? I'm sure you guys talked about it. USC made the decision that basically they're not having kids back on campus except for a handful. You know, at some point here, campuses are going to have to make the call. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of students, for a lot of fans of sports, I think more and more campuses are pulling the plug, at least on a normal fall schedule.
We'll talk more about this coming up, but did you see what Seth Davis has been saying about that?
No.
You know, because several months ago when we were talking about this, it was no students, no football.
Sure.
Right?
Well, that was from the 80s. Like the
right. Well, things change.
Sure.
And so Seth Davis is now saying, get used to the word operational. Because what that means is, hey, the campus is technically operational.
I like it.
Therefore, we can play football.
They're going to say, hey, if you want to go on campus and get a Taco Bell burrito, you can. Sure, no one is, but it's there for you. Therefore,
they're already starting.
We can go ahead and play.
To get around it. Mike, what did you just say in my headset?
Today's coronavirus numbers are also out because you said 301 was the most recent.
Yeah.
Today was 168.
All right.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us trending.
No new deaths today.
And hopefully 4th of July does not,
Oh, you know it will.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah. I will say
but we'll have to wait a couple weeks.
Because I was out on the coast, and I will tell you that the vast majority of people that I saw in Pacific City, and that's not a lot of people, it's a small place, were
masked up.
We're masked up and trying to do the...
Yeah.
We're trying to do the space thing.
Okay, see, that I love to hear. I saw a segment today on CNN, and I thought it was bullsh. They had a guy in Brazil.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brazil, you know, the leadership there has been like our leadership. They don't. They're just like,
Their numbers are very high.
So he was reporting from a street corner in Brazil, and there were a bunch of people behind him. Like, it was busy.
Yeah.
Right? And his whole bit and the whole thing was, oh, look at Brazil and this is how dangerous is. And I was watching that clip for at least a minute and a half while he was on there. Every single person had a mask on. Didn't report that.
Yeah.
What he was reporting was, look at this. Is this opening too early? Well, everyone, not one. And I was looking and there were a ton of people. It was a big market where people were doing business. They were all in close proximity to one another. Not one person did not have a mask on. And I just thought, man, that's like, why wouldn't they talk about that?
Yeah.
But they don't. They don't care. They just like to tell you how awful it is that they're reopening and that it's all, you know, everybody's going to get COVID. Well, are they? If everyone's masked up and doing the right things.
I saw, I went into the pizza.
Isn't that the best we can do?
It's the best you can do. I went into a pizza place and same thing. They had the tables all spread out. Very few people were eating inside. Everyone was masked up. Really detail oriented as far as where you can stand when you order. They were wiping everything down. At least from what I was expecting down on a 4th of July weekend on the coast, I was pleasantly surprised. Even people that were climbing the Cape, those people were in masks. They were staying away from each other. I was pleasantly surprised.
All right, coming up next, let's talk about the death rates and what that means. 449 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we only have time for one more subject, and it is COVID-related here on In the News. Let's talk about the death rate, because, you know, cases are spiking in many places in the country. But
well, Lynch said that the governor of Arizona just tweeted out.
No. The mayor,
the mayor
of the county of that Phoenix is in was on CNN and said we had a, I'll pull it up, a 28.8% positivity rate.
That's not good. Almost 30% of the people being tested have it. So
yeah, 28.8%.
This thought out there that, well, people are dying less now.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, there are many reasons why they
treatments
think that.
And, you know.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. One, more mild cases are being found because we're testing more people. Two, more younger people are getting it and they can fight it off better. Three, we know more about how to better treat the virus, and that's true. Four, more patients are surviving after needing ventilators. That's a fact. They've proven that people are getting on ventilators and they are not dying at the rate they were before. So they're saying that death rates are now on par, at least in the United States, with other similar lung ailments caused by other diseases. So the death rate in April was 3,000 per day. Mm-hmm. It is now 550 per day. So a lot of people point to this and go, wow, well, that changes a lot of stuff. Well, not so fast, my friend.
You spoiled the Lee Corso. Not so fast.
They're saying, you know, like the experts are warning, look, death rates, they lag behind infections by about 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
So the experts are predicting a lot higher death rates
in the coming weeks.
The next one expert said the next 8 weeks are going to be hell.
Well, I did.
When it comes to deaths.
I did see that they're already, you're doing some interviews with some doctors like in Houston that are really, really flummoxed and saying that they're running out of beds and young people are really, really sick. You're getting people in their 30s and 40s. And Arizona now has like a color coded like triage scale. Because they're having to, you know,
Coming.
Yeah, it's getting hairy.
But
in
see,
some
you
places.
Get this death rate news, and you get people like, oh, it's not as bad as it was before. I'm gonna go out. And again,
you could be digging a deeper hole.
They are warning: be careful. So the death rate is already up by over 50% in Arizona and Florida the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
California and Texas are steady in terms of their death rates, but their ICU beds are filling up. So basically, what they're saying is if you combine all U.S. data, it never looks as bad because there aren't outbreaks everywhere, right? There are some places doing quite well, particularly the Northeast, because they saw it up close with New York City and what happened there, right?
Yeah.
So their states, they've done a great job, and they are not spiking the way other places like Florida, Arizona, Texas, or California are. So if you combine all the U.S. data, it really doesn't look that bad. But where there are outbreaks, it is about to become really bad because there are only so many ICU beds in those areas.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. That's the problem, right? Overall, U.S., the more you zoom out, the more
you're
it's like,
okay.
Well, okay. But you look at specific places like Houston. I know the Austin mayor has been out there a lot saying, hey, we're getting close to being really catastrophic here.
And you want to be careful that you don't end up taking this lightly and then you end up being the next one.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what people need to know. That's why we need to just continue to be diligent here.
Yeah.
Because you could be the next hotspot. And when you are, it is bad.
Yeah. Go ask New York.
Right. So right now, they think around 60% of cases, the person get symptoms. Of those, 10 to 15% develop some form of COVID pneumonia. And of those, 2 to 5% wind up in the hospital. The infection rate also, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's 3 times higher for African Americans and Latinos than whites.
And that's been going on. They've been talking about that now for months, that it's hitting those communities harder.
So there's just some latest, you know, some latest numbers. Like they learn, you know, there's just new stuff coming out every day.
But again, I just encourage people, take it seriously. If not for you, for everyone else, take it seriously.
Also, this will mean the death of the bra. Did you read that?
death of the broad.
Yeah, I shouldn't corkscrew this in here. This needs more time to breathe.
Yeah, speaking of time to breathe.
I know, I can't just drop that on you and then go to break.
Because people at home now and they're ditching the bra.
Read an article about it today. Women are at home and they are ditching the bra, of course, being at home. And a lot of them are saying, hey, when I go back out there, I ain't wearing a bra.
Well, you know what? Something good. Let's take something positive that we can hold on to, and I mean literally hold on to.
Yeah, ladies.
Yeah!
The death of the bra. Thanks, COVID. All right, there's your In the News, July 6, 2020. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. Somebody got paid. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.